sinner, a poor sinner like me. Well, that's what this life is all about. Whether you be in Christ or out of Christ. Whether you have a good hope or whether you have no hope at all. That's what it's all about. To find out who this man Christ Jesus is. Why did he come? What did he do? Why is he so important? We talk about the Bible here. Bible is fact. Pat takes the book with the hymns in it and talks about the hymn book. But really, this is the hymn book. Because this book, from start to finish, talks about Him. Talks about Him. Whom to know is life eternal. That's how important all this is. Whether you be in or out. Whether you have a good foundation or a bad foundation. Whether you're covered with His righteousness or whether you're trusting in your own. I hope that God will answer those questions for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, very serious subject, is verse number 5. Very serious, very important. I had conversation with a fella just recently who used to come here once in a while, a few times, and so I talked to him and asked him how he's doing and all. He said, "Oh, he's doing fine." I said, "Well, that's good." He said, "I've been going to a little Methodist church up in the country. Up at Monumental, I believe he told me. Methodist Church at Monumental. Been going up there." He said, they have such a good time there. They have such a good time. He said, "It just meets my needs." And I said, "Well, that's fine." And he said, "They don't have much preaching." He said, "As a matter of fact," he said, "I wonder why they pay the preacher." Because he said, he comes and he says he says a few words for about 10 minutes. And he said, "Then we all separate in groups." He said, a group over here, and one of the ladies, she makes some comments on what's going on and so forth, and the plight of this world and all. And someone else over here, they talk a little bit, and then we all talk, ask questions and all that. He said, "I enjoy it." I said, "Well, I try to be a little bit more serious than that." I said, there is a place in the church for a minister. I said, God appoints and ordains men to be ministers of His." And I said, if a man says he's a minister and hadn't got anything to say, I said, maybe they ought to get someone who does. Because the apostle here, he said, in verse 7, he says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher." Did you read that? Verse 7? Ordained. When was he ordained? I'm not talking about here in time when they have a meeting, the churches and the elders and the bishops and they come together and they take one man and separate him for the public ministry, and they lay hands on him and so forth. Paul wasn't talking about that kind of a ordination. He said he was ordained a preacher. He was ordained a preacher before time ever was. Paul was. And it come to pass here in time when Jesus Christ Himself met Paul on the road to Damascus and appointed him a preacher. But he was ordained. He said, I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle, a high office, the highest office in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ was an apostle. I don't think that that office is effective in our day. I think when the apostles died, the office of an apostle died with them. Well, I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. And listen to what he says. I speak the truth in Christ. I speak the truth. I'm interested, he said, in truth, not fiction. I'm not interested in what the philosophers, Socrates, and these at Mars Hill had to say. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. How did I get here and where am I going? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? If there's a heaven, how do I get there? Truth. I want to talk about truth, he said. Serious business. I speak the truth in Christ. And he said, I lie not. I lie not. I don't lie. I tell the truth. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Well, look with me this morning, if you will, to that fifth verse. For there is one God. One God. Not three gods. Not a Muslim God, and not a God of Confucius. There's one God, one true and living God, who has manifested Himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One in three, and three in one. One God. The Lord Jesus Christ was God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. There is one God. And there's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, I told you here at the outset that the mediator, one mediator is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And the mediator has to do with two parties, and these at variance among themselves. Now, the mediator, he stands as a middle person, and it's his business as the mediator, it's his business to bring these two parties together and make peace between them. That's the business of the mediator. That's his business. Bring these two parties together. Make peace between them. Be on friendly terms. Reconcile. Now, these two parties here, we're not talking about a labor union that's out of sort with the management. Therefore, they've got to go to the government and call in a negotiator and a mediator to bring the two parties together. That's not what we're taught. Now, that is a sense of mediation. But here, the two parties involved in the reconciliation are God and His people. I could say God and His elect people. God and His elect. According as He hath chosen us in Christ Jesus before the world was. Elect people. Now the two parties are God and His people. His people, who, that's you and I, that's all of us, who in their natural state, the way they were born, are at a distance from God. They're born not in fellowship with God, but when they're born out of fellowship with God. They are enemies of God. They are at a distance from God and at enmity to Him. They have broken His law and they have affronted His justice. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Mediator, the God, God-man, stands here as the middleman, a day's man between them, and lays His hands upon both parties. He has to do with things pertaining to the glory of God. And He makes reconciliation for the sins of His people and brings them that were afar off from God, nigh unto God. That's what the mediator does. And he makes peace between God and man. And how does he make that peace? He makes peace by the blood of his cross. And in consequence of this, he appears for them in the court of heaven, intercedes for them, pleads for them, and he is their advocate. He's their advocate. He's like Jeff. Jeff is an advocate for the man that he represents, him being a lawyer. He pleads this man's case. This man does not say anything. He lets his advocate do all the pleading if he's got any sense. He'll let the lawyer talk for him. He's our advocate, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our advocate. Where we need an advocate in the worst way. In the court of heaven. In the throne room of God. We need someone to plead our case. Now, what does he do? He sees that all covenant blessings, of which he is a mediator of, are applied unto those that he represents. He preserves their persons, which are committed unto his care, and unto his charge, that they will eventually be brought safely to everlasting happiness, to the kingdom of heaven. Now, as this mediator is the man, Christ Jesus, not just mere man, he is truly and properly God. Not just man, see. He is God, all God, and all man in one person. That's the mediator. All God and all man in one person. And his business is to bring these warring parties together. It's his business to make peace and reconciliation between these two parties. Not mere man, but he's the God man. As much God as if he's never man, as much man as if he's never God. This is what he done. Verse 6. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. For all sorts of men. For men and women of every rank, of every quality, of every state and every condition, and of every age and of every sex. Not all men in the sense of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that was ever born. All sorts of men. Jews and Gentiles. They come from every tribe, every tongue, every blood, and every nation. All sorts of men. Who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Now, what the mediator gave as a ransom for man is this simple. It's this simple. He gave himself. He gave himself. It's that simple, Bob. His body and his soul, which were made an offering for sin. He gave his life, which is the result of the union between his soul and his body. He gave his whole human nature as in union with his divine person. He is a man, all man, as if he was never God. But yet on the other hand, he was all God as if he was never man in one person. As a man who is our mediator, as a man that he might have something to offer. You haven't got anything to offer, have you? What could you offer? If it was up to you, what could you offer God when everything that you've thought or touched is tainted with that which God hates? What good work could you drag up? The only thing you and I can do is to lie and sin and go to hell when we die. That's all we could do. We need one. We need a man who has something to offer on our behalf and have some confidence that what he offers will be accepted on our behalf. A man that he might have something to offer, and a man that he might be capable of obeying and suffering and die. Oh, and in so doing, that is, offering unto God, obeying perfect obedience, suffering and dying, and in so doing, make satisfaction. Listen to me close now.
to make satisfaction in the nature. To make satisfaction in the nature that had sinned. And had he been not God as well as man, he could not have drawn nigh unto God on behalf of men. Oh, not, I've already mentioned to you, not for every individual of mankind, he said. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, not for every individual of mankind. It means all sorts of men, women, colors, races, sexes, all sorts, but not for every individual of mankind. Now, I know that that comes as a shock to the religious person. I thought Christ paid the debt. I thought God loves everybody, and everybody's going to be saved when they die. Whether they're saved in time or not doesn't make any difference. Somehow God's going to save every member of the human race. Everybody that's connected with the first Adam, God's going to save them. He sent Christ. God loved them. God loved them and sent Christ to die for them and pay their penalty. Well, it says here, who gave himself a ransom for all. That means for all sorts of people. All sorts of men, the rich, the poor, the black, the yellow, the red, every sex, every country, every tribe, every nation. Well, if he died, now let me just offer you this. If he died for every individual of mankind, from Adam until the last man's born of woman, if so, then all would be delivered, all would be freed, and all would be saved. But you and I know that that's not so. All men at any given time, in any given place, are not saved by the grace of God. Most men, the majority of men and women and the people that make up this planet, are not interested in God Almighty. They've never committed themselves to Him. They don't know anything about their sinnerhood. They don't know anything about what God requires. They're indifferent to God and to His Son, and they trample underneath their feet every day His blood. So we know then that it does not mean for every individual of mankind, a member of Adam's fallen race. If so, then all would be saved. All would be delivered. All would be freed. But all are not. Or, listen now, or else the ransom price is paid in vain. If this all means all of mankind, then the ransom, it says here, who gave himself a ransom, he paid the ransom, and he paid it in vain. If he paid it to save all men, why are not all men saved? See what I'm saying? He did not pay the ransom in vain. He paid it for a number of people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that are in the covenant. He's the fulfiller of the stipulations of the covenant on their behalf. Listen, or else the ransom price was paid in vain, or is unjust. Is God unjust? Well, He would be If he refused to receive a ransom price that Christ made, and yet not let the captive go free, he'd be unjust. He gave himself a ransom for many, all sorts. And Paul said, as I've already told you, about he being ordained a preacher. I'm ordained a preacher and apostle. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. And I'm just telling you this morning what Paul preached and what this means for his glory and for his honor. Well, one mediator between God and man, and the man's Christ Jesus. Now, there is but one man through which God will accept men. That is by one man's obedience. I read that to you in Romans chapter 5. There's a way by which God will accept men and women and boys and girls. There is a way. That is by one man's disobedience or one man's obedience. Christ, by virtue of his death, put away the sin that separates his people from God. Now, his people come to God by him and through him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, listen to me. We must, if we ever go to heaven when we die, it'll be upon this ground. We must be declared free from guilt and invested with a righteousness that will stand before the law of sinless perfection and entitle us to the kingdom of God. That's what we've got to have. That can only be found in the mediator who gave himself a ransom for all. Only be found in him. Only way we can be reconciled. We who are far off from God are made nigh through the blood of Christ. Now listen. And if we have it not in ourselves, where must we look for it but existing solely in the person of Christ? Dependence, therefore, upon that righteousness wrought out by him and him alone and appointed by God for sinners to trust him. That's the only way. Through this man, Christ Jesus. Well, Satan and the world might ask you, if you tell them some things that I'm telling you, if you bear testimony of him in whom is your confidence and trust, if you do that, Satan and this world may ask you, how can you be justified by a righteousness which is not yours? They may ask you that question. And the answer is the righteousness of Christ is ours, and ours only, by as great a right as any other thing that we possess. It's ours by the free gift of God. It's a gift. He gives it to us. He doesn't pay it to us. He gives it to us. A free gift. What is this righteousness that we must have? It is a righteousness answerable to justice. Does your righteousness answer to inflexible justice that demands the soul that sinneth shall die? Our righteousness is of Him. He did die that we might not die. He bore our sins, the penalty, to our sins. He's our obedience. God requires that His law be kept. He kept it. He kept every jot and tittle of that law. He kept it. He kept it from the time He entered into this world to the time He left. He kept that law. As a mediator, as the representative of His people, He kept that law. He magnified that law and made it honorable. He wrought for His people a sinless perfection, a righteousness that would answer to the justice of God that must be satisfied. I say to you this morning, the question is not, will you accept the Lord? That's not the question. The question is, will He accept you? And He'll accept anyone who comes. Out of all sorts of people, He'll accept him and meet their need and their cry for mercy only in Him whom God's appointed. Our mediator, our Savior. I say trust in Him. Trust in Him and Him alone. I told you this story several times about the lady who was talking to the Pentecostal preacher, and she is trying to tell the Pentecostal preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she so extolled and exalted the Christ of God. He turned to her and he said, "You must think a whole lot of the Lord Jesus, don't you?" She said, "He's my all." And she said, "Do you?" And he said to her, he said, "Do you think that Jesus is enough?" And she said, "If He is all you got, He's enough." See what I'm saying? If He's all you got, He's enough. You got anything else to go along with Him? Won't do it. Must be Him, the mediator. All right, meet again.